For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
Welcome, everyone online and on the ground here. And this is a sad moment in our world to lose Ellen Sinake, the abbot at Berkeley Zen Center, and also a time to be grateful that such a being actually existed in our world, and even luckier still that he was a great friend of Taigen's who drew him to the dragon lair. So Taigen will kind of lead us in some memories, and I think Jordan has a tune to play at your signal. And without further ado, Taigen,
take it away. Thank you, Ogesu. Thank you. Welcome, everyone. Great to see you all. Great to see some good old friends on the online. Welcome. So I want to just share some personal memories of Alan, Hosan Alan Smokey, abbot at Berkeley Zen Center. Passed away yesterday afternoon. We go way back. I'm also going to talk about some of his many other Dharma activities, but Alan and I would go back to Columbia University in spring 1968. We were both among 700 people arrested after a week-long occupation of buildings protesting the Vietnam War, which the Columbia University was involved in military research for, and racism. And Columbia was involved in racist expansion into Harlem nearby. So this started a couple of weeks after Dr. King was killed. Later, Alan became a great scholar of Dr. King's spiritual teachings and talked about his work a lot. Alan and I first met in the context of a Tawar activity later on. So I'm going to jump around a little. Later on, in 2003, Alan and I were arrested together again, this time a smaller group, but we were both then priests by then. This was at the San Francisco Federal Building, protesting the invasion of Iraq in 2003. And it's notable that there had been a few hundred thousand protesters in San Francisco each month before the invasion, and also all around the world, many, many protesters. I don't think there's ever been protests against a war before it even started, but the invasion was launched, and so Alan and I were both arrested there. Anyway, and we had more activist activities together, but I got to know Alan better in 1968 in the fall, the fall after the building occupation. Alan was in a band that rehearsed in the apartment that I shared with four other Columbia students. It overlooked Harlem, so we hung out a lot listening to the music. And also, that was before we had Zazen, so we did a fair amount of hallucinogens together also. Anyway, that was a wonderful time and a terrible time in 1968. As this is a wonderful time and a terrible time. So we're still fighting against wars and racism. Alan and that band that rehearsed in my apartment moved up to Woodstock, New York in 1969. I visited them a few times. Alan, amongst other things, being a great Dharma teacher and an activist, was also a great musician. He continued his music until the last years. He performed solo, but also with a number of bluegrass groups. He put out two CDs, Everything is Broken, the title song by Dylan, And the wooden man, which refers to the Jewel Mare Samadhi, the wooden man starts to dance. The stone woman gets up to dance, and the wooden man begins to sing, or vice versa. Anyway, so he had a large musical connection. I didn't see Alan, I guess, after 69 or 70, until 1985. I had been at Tassajara for a few years, Tassajara Monastery, which is a San Francisco Zen Center monastery, south in east of Big Sur. I was at that point that summer, I was head doan, and I saw monks, and I helped with the guest students who were coming, and I saw the name Alan Sanaki on the list of guest students coming in. Of course, there couldn't be so many of them. So we reconnected. He had been practicing at Berkeley Zen Center while I was at Tassajara. Later, we collaborated and consulted about Buddhist teachings together in the Bay Area and activism. Before the pandemic, we started collaborating on a book about early Buddhist social engagements. So we did a lot of research, Alan did a lot of that. And so Buddhist social engagement did not begin with Thich Nhat Hanh and Aitken Roshi, but goes all the way back. So we will, the book will have, hopefully I'll be able to use our many notes to finish it for both of us, and it includes primary texts from India, China, Japan, Korea, about social engagement in ancient times, in old times. Okay, so Alan spoke at Ancient Dragon Zen Gate 14 times from 2009 to 2023. If you go to the Ancient Dragon Zen Gate website and go to the podcast and write his name in the blank and then hit the return buttons, you'll see, you can see those talks he gave here. That was most actually here in this room once, if I believe, but also back when we were at Irving Park Road. I think he performed musically at least one of those times. So he was a good friend of Ancient Dragon. And he was part of many, many communities. He had many musical friends and colleagues. He also traveled widely sharing the Dharma. And I'm reminded that he also did chaplain training and hospice training at Upaya Zen Center in Santa Fe. And a couple of people, we have numbers of chaplains in our Sangha, and a couple of people here were may have studied with him there. So he just a phenomenal amount of teaching and traveling that he did. He traveled around the world. He spent a lot of time in Burma early on, helping Buddhists who were protesting or had protested the military dictatorship. Later, he also worked with Rohingya Muslims who were being persecuted by the and are being persecuted by the Burmese government and also by Burmese Buddhists. Alan also traveled in Sri Lanka and Thailand. Also in India, helped teach Buddhism to Dalit Buddhists. So the Dalits were formerly known as untouchables, were as a movement of Buddhism in modern India. It was inspired by a man named Ambedkar, who was a Dalit and had a chance to be educated in London and in New York and Columbia, actually, and inspired a mass conversion of Dalits in India. So there's a whole Dalit community. Alan and also his wife Lori sometimes went and gave teachings about Buddhism to Dalit Buddhists in India. He worked with engaged Buddhist groups all around the world. He shared Dharma widely, traveled throughout the States, but also he had successors Dharma successors in Germany, where he also traveled, as well as in California. So he had just did an amazing amount of traveling and teaching and sharing the Dharma. And I should mention his books. One of the recent ones is called Turning Words. Wonderful, wonderful book. I highly recommend it. There's an article on the Ancient Dragon website in which I talk about that book. It has excerpts of teachings that Alan heard from many different great modern teachers. So Turning Words. He also did a book on the Bodhisattva's Embrace. And he did a book on Heirs to Ambedkar. So in addition to studying the teachings of Dr. King, he studied Ambedkar and his teachings. So we were blessed to have him as a supporter of Ancient Dragon and as a teacher of the Dharma in America and of Dharmic activism and social engagement, as well as regular Buddhist teachings. So, again, he was also a fine musician and solo. When I have time, if anyone else has comments or memories you want to share. But I'll close my part of this with one of Alan's songs. This is from his CD, Everything is Broken, and it's called They Are Falling All Around.
Teachers of my life are moving on. Death comes and rests so heavy. Death comes and rests so heavy. Death comes and rests so heavy. Your face I'll never see no more, but you're not really going to leave me. You're not really going to leave me. You're not really going to leave me. It is your path I walk. It is your song I sing. It is your Lord I take on. It is your air I breathe. It's the record you set that makes me go on. It's your strength that helps me stand. I will try to sing my song right. I will try to sing my song right. I will try to sing my song right. Be sure to let me hear from you.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you, Jordan. Thank you, Tigan, for offering such sweet words and a sweet song. I'm wondering if anyone in the Sangha, and including people online, would like to share anything about your experience of Hozon. And, you know, Jordan, I guess you'll help with that.
Yeah.
maybe I'll give people a minute to think about their experience. I'll just say a little about mine. I think I first became kind of aware of Alan as a person, Hozon, somewhere in the 90s when he was heading the Buddhist Peace Fellowship, which was really is a wonderful organization. And I was a peacenik at the time. And there's something about, you know, I don't think Taiga mentioned a lot about this, but, you know, Alan and his wife and family, his two children, lived at Berkeley Zen Center for decades, I guess.
Yes.
And, you know, Berkeley Zen Center is not so unlike Ancient Dragon in the sense that there are really devoted people there who live in the world and care about the world and about social justice, about living in a way that isn't just, you know, the monk facing the wall, but it's us going into the world and expressing our dharma through our care for the world. Berkeley Zen Center has always been a very welcoming, friendly place to me. You know, Alan's like, anytime you want, just stay with us. And it was like with us, with that community. And I think a lot of that community spirit was because he and Lori and their family were there caring for the temple and supporting Sojin Mel Weitzman, who was the abbot prior to Alan. But I just want to, you know, express the warm spirit of that Sangha and of Alan and Lori and their children. Sylvie, their daughter, lives in Chicago and sat with us. Lori's actually been here. And they've stayed here. So there was a very kind, sweet, gentle, and clear presence that Hozon had, but one that welcoming and, you know, being an advocate for so many causes for justice and peace, there was still this gentleness about him, not this harshness, you know, but this just availability. And I think because in many ways he was pretty unassuming as a person, he didn't have a lot of pretense or Zen pretense, the stink of Zen, you know, around him, that he just shone bright, and may his radiance continue eternally in our life. So that's what I have to say about Hozon.
Thank you, Hogetsu. And just to add a little bit to what you said, Alan was executive director of the National Buddhist Peace Fellowship for a while. He was also national or executive director or whatever of Soto Zen Buddhist Association for a while. And his family is remarkable. His wife, Lori Sanoki, is also a Zen priest and teacher, Dharma teacher. I actually knew her before Alan did because she was Tenzo at Tassajara when I first showed up. His children, Sylvie lives in Chicago, recently got married. Alex is spent some time in Japan and is a Rinzai monk. So Alan was, you know, had a wide range of different contacts and connections and communities that he was part of. Anyway, other people, who anybody who has something you want to add online or here.
Yeah, it looks like someone Alex.
Oh, Brisha. Hello, Brisha.
Hey, if I can. Oh, gosh. Sensei Alan was one of the few people who, just reflecting on his passing, I can say he lived by what he preached. And I met him when I was... at UPIA's chaplaincy program. And he was just such an incredible teacher and advocate during a very difficult time. And one of my favorite teachings from him that I will never forget is I'm someone who communicates what I feel needs to be said in the moment. And one thing Sensei Allen told me about the precept around right speech is that it's important that someone be in a place to receive what I'm saying in order for it to be considered right speech. And there are times when I would speak what I perceive to be the truth, and he may have agreed with it, but it may not have been, the person may not have been in the place to receive it. And that has been a piece of wisdom that has informed all of my relationships and the work that I've done moving forward. And, you know, it just breaks my heart. And at the same time, I feel fortunate to have met and loved someone deeply enough to experience this heartbreak. And yeah, it's just a beautiful person. So that's it.
Thank you, Prisha.
I don't have in-depth memory of Alan's teachings, but I do remember him visiting the Zen Gate a couple of times, and I remember he seemed so completely down to earth to me that it was warming. It warmed my heart. Because sometimes Zen does feel a little aloof to me. And he was not that at all. He sang, and it was a folk song, and it was very inclusive. And it, I don't know, he did something that evening, I think, pulled us all together. So I just remember that about him, that he had the power to do that.
Thank you,
Kathy. Power. I mean, I have similar sort of relationship to Alan, which is not a deep one. Didn't have a personal relationship with him, just times he came and gave a talk here. But the relationship I have is sort of this, like, oh, he's like one of the legends as like someone who's a young practitioner. It's like, oh, he's one of the big ones out there, and they're scary, and you know, they're so enlightened and awakened that I'm not even coming anywhere close, right? But sort of, and especially that, I think the first time I encountered Alan, I sort of had more of that assumption about teachers and the big names in the Zen world, and I just remember having that illusion just like really shattered. It was like, oh, this guy's just
down to earth.
Yeah, he's just like one of us. He's one of us bozos down here. When I was in divinity school and I was doing the Master Divinity program, one of the things that stuck out to me that my program director at that time would often say was like, well, it doesn't really matter, you know, it doesn't really matter what you remember me saying. Like, what did you feel? Mm-hmm. Alan didn't say that. I still remember, and I don't even remember at all what Alan said. I have a distinct, like, bodily feeling and memory of how Alan made me feel. And it was extremely warm. It was extremely welcoming. It was remarkable. There was something just, like illuminating and bright about him. And it was just remarkable because I've only met the guy in person, like, two times. And I didn't even chat with him afterwards. I was like, oh, you don't want to talk to me.
He would have talked.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We would have had a great conversation. And again, for anyone who's interested in hearing some of the Dharma talks he gave here at Ancient Dragon, just go to Ancient Dragon's Zen Gate, go to the podcast and write in his name, and you'll see a bunch of talks. David.
Yeah. What you said, how it triggered me. Many memories. Like Risha, I was part of the Upaya chaplaincy program only for a year, but Alan was kind of like a glue. Everybody was, transcendent, trying to do the work and trying to, get this done. And Alan would sing a song and help us relax and ground us. And he was just a presence. And it wasn't so much what he said, but like you said, how he made you feel, that you just felt relaxed and good to be in his presence, that you were comforted by him. And that was his care for other people, reflected in all his activism. He was caring for people all over the world. In fact, the first time I heard his name, Tigan, you were going to Washington with him for some peace conference to the White House.
That's right. We went to the White House together.
Yeah. And so he was always this active person. You knew that. And just like you say, it just made you feel at ease. And I remember my Dokusan with him, it wasn't real harsh. And, it was like, come on, you can do this, kind of gentle support and gentleness and compassion. And that's what I think of when I think of Alan's, that compassion that he had.
Thank you, David. David Ray.
Well, again, in 2020, after I had started coming around Ancient Dragon, a colleague of mine, I don't know if you know his name, Larry Rothfield, who was actually retiring, said to me, "So how's your life these days?" And I said, "Well, I've become a Zen Buddhist." And he said, "Oh, do you happen to know the name of Alan Sinaki?" And I was like, "Why would I know the name of Alan Sinaki?" And I don't think I ever will. But then, of course, he turned out to be a friend of yours, and he came here, and he was sitting where Mugetsu was sitting. Not only did he sing, but he made us sing. He made us sing that song where the chorus is, "I would never despise you." Oh, yes. And the end of the chorus is, "You'll be a Buddha someday." It's such a wonderful song.
It's from the Lotus Sutra.
It's from the Lotus Sutra, exactly. So his music is Dharma. Yeah, I really appreciate it. I can say this to you now on this particular day. I would never have said this to you ever before, but both my PhD advisor and my Dharma teacher are scholars of Bob Dylan. I like Alan Sinaki's music a lot better than Bob Dylan's
music. Even his renditions of Bob Dylan.
Absolutely. Yeah.
His music had a better voice.
Yeah.
He's also a great musician.
He's a good musician. Yeah.
He's a very good musician.
Fine musician. Yeah.
A mutual friend of ours spent 3 hours with Alan a couple of Wednesdays ago. And talking, and Alan was pretty clear and coherent and lucid mentally till the very end, or almost the end. I think he couldn't speak the last couple of days, but Hilton asked him what music he wanted to hear. Hilton had music with him. And Alan said, "The Dust Bowl Ballads by William Guthrie." And that's so perfect. As we enter another Dust Bowl, perhaps, and just Woody Guthrie singing. Anyway, that so both Alan Sinaki and Bob Dylan were inspired by Woody Guthrie.
Alan could sing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I recommend those two CDs. You can find them. I guess you can find them on iTunes.
Yeah, they're actually on Spotify, and you can Google them, and they're on YouTube, so.
Everything is broken.
Everything is available.
Everything is what?
Everything is available. Thanks to the cloud. So the dragons can roam in the clouds.
So any other comments, anyone, before we...
Yeah, I got a second comment, because we're talking... The other thing that bubbles up for me is that... Alan was serious, but he never took himself seriously. And at least from my vantage point of seeing him. And I think that's what he tried to convey to us as students. This is important stuff, but don't get hooked on it, Be real. and you'll get it. But don't, you know, don't try too hard. Don't be attached to being non-attached, you know, that kind of feeling. He said, just be yourself and let it come. And he was so supportive in that way, you know, without, you know, imposing something on you. Just letting you be and supporting you as you found your way. And that's what I truly appreciated with him when I was at Upaya, truly.
You know, also, David, I think he was good friends with Albert Cutchins.
Yeah, he was. He, very good
friends.
I saw
last
very
night.
Very good friends with
said.
Albert. Yeah.
So we have these interesting connections to Alan and Berkeley Zen Center and this world that we try to care for despite the odds.
Yeah, Berkeley Zen Center was a very early important satellite of San Francisco Zen Center. Many, many fine Zen people have been and are at Berkeley Zen Center. After his teacher, Sojin Mel Weissman, passed, Alan took that on very well. Any other comments? Anybody online? It's great to see you all.
Well, I want to thank everyone for coming out on this still almost dark solstice-like night. And, you know, there will probably be many or at least a major funeral service for him at Berkeley Zen Center, more formal work. A celebration, so you can look on Berkeley's website and there might, I don't know if they're going to do one at San Francisco Zen Center. Are they going to do a funeral?
I don't know, yeah. Probably. Yeah.
That would be my guess. But we can remember him at our own personal altars for the next rest of our lives. And every once in a while, give him a little nod and sing a tune for Alan. I think he'd like that. We're so fortunate to have this great ancestor.